بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، continuing our studies in السيرة النبوية, the prophetic biography and the great biography and life of the noble prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we have seen many of the events that occurred in his life sallallahu alayhi wa sallam up into the seventh year. We have seen that he was sent as a prophet and messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that he began calling his people and individuals. They are entering into Islam little by little, and one from here and one from there. And Quraysh, his tribesmen, they did not like his call, and they began harming him and his companions sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa radiyallahu anhu sahabati ajma'in. And they had tried many different efforts and many different tactics and ways to harm the believers, and they were harming the Muslims and especially the weak ones from amongst them, until the extent that the harm became so great and it was so difficult for them that many of them, they left their lands, they left their homes, and they rode and left out of Mecca, and they went to Al-Habasha, and there were great efforts that they made in order to get there, and they were followed, and then they came back, many of them, and then they returned again, all of this in the cause of Allah, and all of this fleeing for their religion and hoping to save themselves and to save their deen and to be able to worship Allah upon clarity and in safety and security without any oppression and without any hardship and difficulty. And we've seen that Quraysh even was not pleased with that until they sent some people all the way to Al-Habasha to try to get those Muslims to come back home so they could continue to punish them. And we have seen that Quraysh, they tried so many different things and so many different ways to harm the believers. And in the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's saving the believers and he's helping them and he's protecting them and he's aiding them to deal with these hardships. And so up into the sixth year, along with all of the hardship and with all of the oppression and with all of the bad manners and bad things that Quraysh is doing to the believers, Islam is still spreading. Islam is still spreading all the way to the extent that two great men entered into Al-Islam. And this was a great victory and a mercy from Allah that Hamza ibn Abd al-Muttalib radiallahu anhu, he accepted Al-Islam and he entered into the faith. And he became an aid and support for the believers. And likewise, after that, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu also, at one time he was a great enemy of the Muslims, but Allah guided his heart and he became from the best of the Muslims. And he became a means of honor and dignity and might and strength for the believers. And Quraysh is trying whatever they can do to harm the believers and to stop the da'wah. But Allah Azza wa Jal refused, except for the da'wah to spread and except for Islam to enter the homes, into the hearts of the people, even at the great efforts and oppression and hardship that is coming from Quraysh. That is coming from Quraysh. So there are many things that are occurring and this affair, and in the face of hardship. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he continued to call. And Al-Islam is continuing to spread. And Quraysh, they are getting fed up. And they have tried, and they have tried, and they have tried many different things. And now, in about the seventh year, they are very tired of this affair. And they are fed up with this affair, and they are ready to try to kill Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. they're very mad. They tried this and they tried that, and they sent people to Habasha and they got rejected and disgraced, and they tried to warn the people and say the Prophet's a liar, but they don't listen to him, and many people accepted Islam, even Hamza and even Umar radiallahu anhuma, and the believers are getting stronger and the believers are getting braver and the believers are having more help in Quraysh. It's like, man, what is going on with this? They're getting very upset. They're getting very mad. So they got together in about the seventh year after the Bi'tha. In the seventh year after the Mab'ath. What is the Mab'ath and the Bi'tha? The Mab'ath and Al-Bi'tha. Meaning the coming of the prophethood. After the prophethood. After he was sent as a prophet and messenger. It's called Al-Mab'ath. Oh, Al-Bi'tha. After the Bi'tha. Or after the Mab'ath. After the coming of the prophethood and messengership of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by 7 years. And he went here into the seventh year after prophethood. Now Quraysh, they're fed up. Now Quraysh, they get together and they make a big plot. And they get together and they all organize around each other, and they have agreed that they are going to boycott, and that they're going to not talk to or sit with or not marry or marry from or marry to anybody from Bani Hashim and anybody from Bani Al-Muttalib. Who are they? Hashim and Al-Muttalib. We have to remember, we studied the lineage of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he is Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib ibn Hashim ibn Abdi Manaf. Abdi Manaf, he was one of the very great notables from the lineage of Quraysh. And he had four sons. Abdi Manaf, he had four sons. Who are they? Al-Muttalib, Hashim, Abdi Shams, and Nawfal. Al-Muttalib, Hashim, Abdi Shams, and Nawfal. And we remember from those four sons, the most noble of them was Hashim. And these are from the best of the tribes of Quraysh. They go back to Abd Manaf. And he had those sons. Hashim, which is from the lineage of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is Hashimi. And then the other brother of Hashim is Al-Muttalib. And the people who have been ascribed to him, they're called Al-Muttalibi. Those two, they have another brother named Abdi Shams, and they have another brother named Nawfal. So some of the Quraysh, they're ascribed back to these people. So from these tribes here, the tribe of Al-Muttalib, and the tribe of Hashim, and the tribe of Abdi Shams, and the tribe of Nawfal, two of them boycotted and left off the rest of their tribe members. Yani, Abd al-Shams and Nawfal, these two tribes here, they boycotted the rest of them. They boycotted Hashim and they boycotted Al-Muttalib. And the tribes of Hashim and the tribes of Al-Muttalib, along with the rest of Quraysh. Along with the rest of Quraysh. So the children of Abd al-Manaf, they're all tribesmen and they're all relatives and they're all brothers. And they have kinship and from the ties of kinship and their relatives together. But two of them, they boycotted the other two. And because of Hashim. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's from the tribe of Hashim. And the tribe of Hashim, they aided and supported the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at this time. And they did not ever leave him or turn away from him. Not those who believed from them and not those who disbelieved. And likewise, along with the tribe of Hashim, the tribe of Al-Muttalib as well, they participated in aiding the Prophet. Those who believed from them and those who disbelieved. Those who believed from them and those who disbelieved. We understand that? So these are the two tribes that were together, aiding and supporting Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whether they were believers or non-believers, they never left the aid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Banu Hashim wa Banu Al-Muttalib. There were two more tribes that are also from their brothers, but they did not help them. Rather, they turned their backs on them. And they were the tribes of Abd Shams and Nawfal. The tribes of Abd Shams and Nawfal. So all of the tribes, even Abd al-Shams and Nawfal, turned their back on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they agreed to boycott and to leave off and to not talk to, and they will not give them food, and they will not buy anything from them, and they will not bargain with them, and they will not trade with them. They'll cut all ties, absolutely no food, no water, no drink, no friendship, nothing to their whole tribe, all of Hashim, and anybody who helps them. Who helped them? Al-Muttalib, the tribe of Muttalib. So these two tribes, they were boycotted. What does boycotted mean? Meaning they turned away from them entirely, and they will not talk to them. They refuse to talk to them. They refuse to feed them. They refuse to give them drink. They refuse to buy anything from them. They refuse to sell anything to them. And it was very, 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 very hard at this time. And Quraysh, they got together and they all signed a contract. And they agreed that none of them will help Banu Hashim and Banu al-Muttalib at all. In any way. No money, no friendship, no aid, no support. They all the way until the only time they will stop doing this, and they'll start helping them again, and they'll start talking to them again. They will only do that if Banu Hashim and Banu al-Muttalib, they give them Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam so they can kill him. So long as they're protecting Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they're going to leave them, and they're going to turn away from them, and they're going to leave them to be hungry and to starve and the likes like that. But they'll stop doing that when, if they give them Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam so they can kill him. So they can kill him. At this time, Abu Talib, he said, no way, man. No way. Give you Prophet Muhammad. Even Abu Talib, he's not even a Muslim. But he got the tribes together, and he was like, look, we're not going to give him nothing. You better stand up and aid your tribesmen. He's from Banu Hashim. This is our brother. And he's from your brothers and from your lineage and from your forefathers. And you better aid him and help him. And Abu Talib, he got Banu Hashim together, and he got Banu al-Muttalib together. And they all agreed that nobody is going to turn their back on Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The believing one and the disbelievers, they all agreed, no, we're going to help our tribesmen. And at this time, Abu Talib, he seen that Quraysh was getting real serious and they're not playing games. They signed a contract and they wrote Bismika Allahumma, and they wrote in the name of Allah. And then they wrote this contract that they're not going to help Banu, they're not going to help these tribes, and they're going to do this, and they're going to not marry them or marry to them or marry from them. They're not going to give them any money or any help or even any business, and they're going to cut them off entirely. And they signed all of them, and they agreed, and they put the contract and they hung it up inside the Kaaba. And they hung it up inside the Kaaba to make it even more affirmed, like nobody can talk to them. Nobody can help them. Nobody can feed them. You can't even sell them something, because if you do that, they're going to get money. You can't buy anything from them either, because if they're going to do that, they're going to get money. So they want to cut them off entirely, and they agreed to do that, and they signed the contract, and they put it in the Kaaba. Abu Talib, he's seen that these people, they're getting very serious now, and he's afraid. So he went outside of Mecca. He went outside of Mecca to a valley that he has in an area outside of Mecca, and he called his tribes to go there too. And he had an area that's in a big valley, and then next to the valley there's a small valley, and it's called a shi'b. It's called a shi'b. A shi'b is like a small little opening in the mountains. So Abu Talib, he took the tribes of Banu Hashim and Banu Muttalib along with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and all the believers along with them. And he took them all the way out in this area, in this valley. And then he put the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam in this little bitty area. In this little bitty area called the Shi'b, which is like a mountain pass. In a small valley inside the mountains. And he did this as protection. And he put them, the believers there, they live there. They couldn't live in Mecca. If they live in Mecca, they're going to be harmed. If they live in Mecca, they're threatened to be killed. If they live in Mecca, they're boycotted and the likes like this. So he moved them outside of Mecca a little bit into the mountain areas. And in this big valley that Abu Talib he had, and then by that valley he had a small area or a passing that's opened, and that's where they were living there, in the middle of some mountains, in some small valley. And it's called the Shi'b, Abi Talib. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they stayed there, and the believers stayed there, just in the middle of the desert, in the middle of the mountains, in this valley. And nobody would bring them food, and nobody would bring them water, and nobody would help them, and they couldn't buy anything, and they couldn't sell anything, and they were there, and they're starving, and they hardly had any food. And Abu Jahl, he used to tell the people who's coming with the camels, there would be people coming with camels with full of food and the likes like that for business, and he would tell them, if you go if you see Banu Hashim and Banu Muttalib and they want to buy something, raise the price super, super high where they can't buy it, and they come to me and I'll buy it for that price. And they come to me and I'll buy it for that price. And so he's saying to them, if Banu Hashim comes to you and they want to buy something from your goods, then you tell them it costs this much and this much and this much until they're not able to buy it. And then you come to me and tell me how much that you want for it, and I'll pay you even extra. Just don't give them any food. Just don't give them any water. Just don't give them any help. And they cut off ties in this manner, and the people of Banu Hashim and Banu Muttalib, the believers and even the disbelievers from them, they're starving. They're starving, and they didn't have anything to eat or anything to drink. Until it got so bad, sometimes they'll find leaves. They'll find leaves and they'll eat leaves. Or they will find some people who had slaughtered animals to eat them, and they would take the skin off the animal and leave it there. They'll take the meat and then just leave the skin. And the Muslims and the people from the tribe of Hashim and the tribe of Muttalib, they didn't have anything. So they would find the skins of the animals and they would eat that. They would clean it up and they would eat that. And they're starving. And they're starving so bad that even away from that area, people that were not even in the shi'b, that was not even in the pass, they could hear the children screaming and crying and the women crying because they're hungry. Because they're hungry, and nobody fed them and nobody helped them. And it was very, very hard time, and they were there for almost 3 years. They were there like this for almost 3 years, and it was so very difficult for them, and it was hard for them. And it was in about the very first day of Al-Muharram, the very first night of Al-Muharram, and the first day in the seventh year, they went to the shib, and they stayed there. And it was very hard for them, and it's very difficult for them. And Banu Abd Shams and Banu Nawfal, they turned their backs on their brothers. And boycotted them, and they cut the ties of relatives, and they all agreed with the rest of Quraysh that we will not help you or do anything for you until you give us Prophet Muhammad and let us kill him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But they said, no way. At this time, Abu Talib, he helped the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and aided him, and he even was so afraid that somebody was going to try to come and assassinate the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, might come and kill him when nobody's looking, that at nighttime, Abu Talib, he used to tell one of his sons, he would tell one of his sons or one of his brothers, he would say, go over there to Muhammad, and you sleep in his bed, and you tell Muhammad to come over here, and you sleep, and he's going to sleep in your bed. And that way, if anybody comes to try to hurt him, they'll see me, and I'll sleep next to him. And Abu Talib, he was very, very diligent to protect the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam in this manner. In this manner, he said, at nighttime, he would send one of his own sons to go sleep in the Prophet's bed, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the Prophet would come sleep in his son's bed, or sleep in Abu Talib's bed himself. And Abu Talib, he would be right there next to him. That way, if anybody would come, they would see Abu Talib. And the people, even though they were mad at Abu Talib, nobody would kill him. And they knows that, because if they unlawfully killed him or anybody else like that, that there would be a big, great war. And they were afraid of that. And they were afraid of that. So at this time, Abu Talib, he wrote a big poem. It's called Al-Lamiya, Al-Qasida Al-Lamiya. In that poem, Abu Talib, he says, Jazallahu anna abda shamsin wa nawfala akubata sharrin ajilan ghayra ajila. Abu Talib, he said, may Allah recompense Abd al-Shams and Nawfal for us evil punishment sooner and not later. Sooner and not later. He's making dua against them. He's making dua against them, and he's calling on Allah. And he's calling on Allah. And this is another example of what is known with regards to the creed and the aqidah of the mushrikeen, that at times of hardship and difficulty, they called on Allah alone. At times of difficulty and hardship, the mushrikun, in the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they called on Allah alone. And in the good times, they worshiped their idols and their stones, and they called on false gods, and they made shirk with Allah azza wa jal. And they made shirk with Allah azza wa jal. Jazallahu anna abda shamsin wa nawfala akubata sharin ajilan ghayra ajila. And it's a long, 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 long poem. And a long, long, long poem about this issue. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, even in this hardship, he continued calling the people. And he continued making da'wah. And he continued teaching the people, and the revelation is coming in this manner. This is in the seventh year, all the way till about the beginning of the 10th year, and the end of the 9th year, and the beginning of the 10th year. And it's getting very hard for them. It is getting very, very hard for them, and they have nothing, and nobody is helping them. But there is some of the people of Quraysh, they agree with the contract, and they are with it. And they were supporting that contract, but there were some other members of Quraysh that didn't like that. They didn't like that because these were their tribesmen and these were their family members. And after some time, and after hearing the children screaming and crying some nights and different times, they hear about others, they're dying out of hunger. They're screaming and crying because they're hungry. And the women are crying because they're hungry. And the men and the likes, they're eating leaves and they're eating the skin of dead animals and so on and so forth, whatever they can find, or the skin of animals and so on and so forth, whatever they could find. And it's very difficult for them and very hard for them. And many of them are very, very weak, and they're starving, literally starving. Starving. They're malnourished, and they're starving and in hunger. But there are some people, from time to time, they would sneak out and they would go to the shi'b with some food, and they would go there with a whole bunch of wheat and a whole bunch of good goods and the likes like that, and they would send the food over there to the Buriras and to Bani Hashim and to Bani al-Muttalib. And this happened from time to time, and every now and then, and also in the sacred months at Ashhur al-Hurum, and in the times of Hajj and the likes, they would send people out, and they would go and try to buy and trade. And if they were able to buy something, it would be at the very highest price, and it would take up all their wealth, so they could only get a little bit. And even sometimes they would go out to buy stuff, and they would go out to try to get something whenever it was in the sacred seasons when there's no fighting allowed. And they would leave their families starving and hungry, and their children are crying, and they'll go out, I'm going to go get the food. And then they'll meet the people who's selling the food and the businessmen, and they're, how much is this? Oh, this much, and like so super big prices. Like, I don't have that much money. How can I pay that much money for this? This is just like some bread and some water or some dates. That much money? I don't have that much money. So get out of here then. And he would go back home to his family and wouldn't have anything. And they'll still be crying. And they'll still be hungry. It was very, 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 very hard. And it was a great, great trial for the believers. But they were patient. And they waited for the help of Allah Azza wa Jal to come. Whenever Quraysh is looking at this, any of the bad ones, they're very happy. Like, man, that's what they get. They're saying they're just pleased them to see them in this manner. But there was one man from Quraysh. His name is Hakim ibn Hizam, and he is the ibn Akhi Khadija. Ibn Akhi Khadija. Who is that? He's the son of the brother of Khadija. So that's Khadija's nephew, Khadija's nephew. His name is Hakim ibn Hizam, and he was a very noble person from Quraysh, and he was one of those people from Quraysh. He was a disbeliever, but he still had love for his relatives, and he had mercy in his heart. And Khadija bint Khuwaylid radiallahu anha, she was with the Prophet as well, from the believers and from those that was along with the Prophet in this time of starvation and this time of boycott and this hardship. Khadija was there, but her nephew Hakim ibn Hizam radiallahu anhu, he accepted Islam alhamdulillah in Fath Mecca, in the conquest of Mecca. But at this time he's a disbeliever, but he used to come and he would sneak out at nighttime, and he would get a camel and he would fill it all full of goods, and then he would get close to the shi'b of Abi Talib, and then he would smack the camel on its bottom and it would take off running. It would take off running and running and running all the way till it ran into the valley where the Muslims were, and then the people would grab the camel real fast and snatch him up, and they would have some food, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. This is the hardship that they're going through. And there are some other people that did similar like this too. They would sneak over there with wheat and barley, or some dates, or some food that they could cook with, and some water and so on and so forth. And this is how they lived for about 3 years. It's mentioned about Hakim ibn Hizam radiallahu anhu. He's the nephew of Khadija radiallahu anha. But at this time he's a disbeliever. One time he was sneaking out and he had a whole bunch of goods, and he was taking them over there to the valley to give them to Banu Hashim and Banu al-Muttalib. And you know who seen him on the path? Somebody stopped him on the way there. It was Abu Jahl. Abu Jahl seen him with all these goods and everything like that, and he's carrying all this food and he's going in that direction. Abu Jahl was like, wait a second, where are you going? Are you going over there? Oh, you're going to go feed those people over there? Oh, no. And he snatched him up and grabbed him and they start wrestling. He's, no, you're not going to go over there. I'm going to tell everybody. You're not. And then another man, he came, his name is Abu Bakhtari. And Abu Bakhtari also, he was from the tribesmen of Quraysh, but also he felt bad for the Muslims and felt bad for Banu Hashim and Banu al-Muttalib, and they, because they all have relationship one way or another from their tribes. And he was like, wait, he's like, what are you doing, Abu Jahl, what are you doing? Why are you stopping him? He said, he's taking the food over there. We're going to tell everybody. He's taking the food over there to them, and we boycotted them. You know, we made a contract. We have a bond. We have a promise. And Abu Bakhtari, he said, man, this is some food right here that Khadija bought. He's taking her food to them. This her food. You're going to stop him from taking her own food over there? You're going to stop him from taking her own food over there? And so they started having an argument and they get a little bit frustrated, and then they started a little bit quarreling. And Abu Bakhtari, he grabs a bone from a jawbone of a camel. Pack! And he smacked Abu Jahl. And he smacked him up a couple of times. And then he stepped on him. And then they had some fighting and like this. And then, alhamdulillah, the food got to the believers. But this is the hardship that they were going through and the difficulties that they are going through. And these are some of the events that happened in the 7th, 8th, and 9th year of the Mab'ath, of the Bi'tha, of the coming of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Something else happened that was really great event. Some really good thing happened while they were there. And this is just also to clarify, although it's very nice, alhamdulillah, it's just to show the hardship that they're going through. There was a little boy that was born, a little noble boy that was born in the Shi'b, in the valley, in the small valley pass of Abi Talib, in about the ninth year, of the Mab'ath. And his dad's name is Al-Abbas. And this young boy's name is Abdullah ibn Al-Abbas. He was born there. And his mother's name is Al-Fadl. But Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he was born in about the close to the 10th year or the end of the 9th year. In this time, and that hardship and that difficulty, that noble and great scholar and translator and interpreter of the Quran, Turjuman al-Quran, Abdullah ibn Abbas al-Qurashi al-Hashimi, radiallahu anhuma, he was born at this time. So this hard times are passing by, about 3 years is going by. And at this time, there are some people from Quraysh, they're like, man, this is too much. Our family members are dying, and they're over there starving. And here we are, we're here, we're eating and living with our families and getting married and having children. And they're over there dying of thirst and starvation. And this is not good. This is very bad. And about the same time, there was revelation that came to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was informed that the sahifa, that contract and that piece of paper that Quraysh agreed, that super bad contract that they wrote, mm-hmm. and that was full of oppression and boycotting, they hung it in the Kaaba. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was informed that some arada, some termites, they got inside there and they ate up a whole piece of paper, everything except for the name of Allah. This is inside the Kaaba. And the Prophet Muhammad, he's way out in the valley. He's not even there in the Kaaba. And nobody's even going inside the Kaaba. And they have keys to the Kaaba. Nobody can get in except with the permission of the gatekeeper and the likes like that. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had revelation. And he was informed that Allah has set these termites to go in there, and they ate up that piece of paper and they ate the whole thing up, and the only thing left there was the name of Allah Azza wa Jal. Bismika Allahumma. It was the only thing that was left there. And then after this time, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told Abu Talib, he said, listen, that piece of paper, the sahifa that they wrote, and that contract that they wrote, the arada, these bugs, they went in there and ate the whole thing. And so now Abu Talib, he's going to Mecca, and he's going to go over there to inform the Quraysh about this. And about that same time, some of the family members of the people of Quraysh, that disagreed with the contract, they started thinking, they're like, man, we got to do something. This is getting to be really, this is getting really bad. It's going too far. They're over there starving, and they've been there for too long. We have to help them. And there was a man named Hisham ibn Amr ibn Rabi'a, and another one, and his name is Al-Mut'im ibn Adi. Hisham ibn Amr ibn Rabi'a and Al-Mut'im ibn Adi. And they're all disbelievers, and some others along with them. And they started talking to each other, and one would go to one, and he would be like, how do you feel right now? How do you feel right now? You're over here living it up in Mecca, and everything's good for you, and eating and drinking and being with your family, and our relatives over there in the valley starving to death. And their children over there crying. Don't you feel bad about that? And one of them, he was like, yeah, I feel bad, but I'm just one man. What can I do? And he said, I got to have somebody to help me. And the other one would be like, you know what? I found somebody to help you. He's like, who was that? Me. I'm going to help you. And then he was like, okay, we'll find another one. So they would go to another one. They would say the same thing. Be like, well, don't you, have you not thought about the situation of those people? Are you not shy? Are you over eating and having all fun in life and everything? And our relatives are over there starving? Do you really think that this contract is a good thing? We have to do something. He's like, man, I'm just one person. What can I do? I need some help. He's like, I know somebody will help you. He's like, who? Me. I'll help you. He said, was anybody else? Yeah, me and so also. Mut'im ibn Adi is going to help too. And they did this until they got about five people. And then they told each other. Yeah, against the whole tribe, right? But they're notable ones too. But they're notable ones too. And then there are other people also who agree with them, but they're just being quiet. They're just being quiet. So they all agreed. They're like, look, okay, we're gonna go. We're gonna reject this affair. We're gonna go try to stop this thing. So they're gonna go to the Kaaba. He said, okay, I'm gonna be the one talking. One of them, he said, I'm gonna be the one talking, and I'm gonna make tawaf around the Kaaba. And after that, I'm gonna go to their clubs and to their clubhouses, to the Andiya, to the Nadi. I'm gonna tell them, look, man, this is not right. We don't agree with you. You guys better stop doing that to Banu Hashim and Banu Al-Muttalib. Those are our brothers, and those are our family members, and the likes like this. So he put on, one of them, he put on a good, his name is Zuhair. He put on a good clothes, Zuhair ibn Abi Umayyah al-Makhzumi. He put on a nice hula, good clothes, and he made tawaf around the Kaaba, and then he went over there, and he was like, this contract that you guys made, this is falsehood, and this is very bad, and this is evil way, and we don't agree with you. And Abu Jahl, he got up, and Abu Jahl was like, you're a liar, it's not falsehood. And then one of the others, he would come and said, well, you're a bigger liar than him. Yes, it is too falsehood. And he would say, no, both of you are lying. And then another one, the third one would come and defend. He said, no, you're the biggest liar. This is awful. We don't agree with it. Yeah, that's right. We don't agree with it. And they were all coming like this until finally Abu Jahl, he's like, you guys wrote this and didn't even tell us about it anyways. And Abu Jahl is like, you know, well, we agreed upon this in another place. And like this. And so, and in the end, they're all disputing. And at this time, Abu Talib is coming. At about the same time, Abu Talib is coming. And the only reason Abu Talib is coming, he's coming to tell them. He's gonna give them a challenge. Because he knows the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he never lied. So Abu Talib, he's coming, and he's seen them arguing, and he told him, he's like, look, I'm coming to tell you right now that contract that you guys wrote is finished. It's been eaten up. It's tore up. These little insects came in there and ate everything except for the name of Allah. And if you don't believe me, I'm telling you right now, my nephew, Muhammad, he's the one who told me that, and he never lied to me. So therefore, you open up the door and you go look and you see. If the contract is eaten up, then you got to let us come back home. And you can't say nothing to us, and you let us be free. And you be nice to us again. But if the contract is not eaten up, then I'll give him to you and you can kill him. I'll give him to him to you and you can kill him. Like, yeah, right, okay. Yeah, let's do it. So they're like ready to do it. And they open up the cab and they went inside. And you know what? It was all eaten up. It was all eaten up. And they're like, what? It was all, what? Then you know what they said? Abu Jahl is like, oh, this is magic. I told you that Muhammad was a magician. Oh, that's the magic that he put on us. And he's a magician and he's using magic. We told you he was a magic man. And he's doing magic and did it like this. So they said, he's a sahir. He's a sahir. So that even then they seen this great, great sign from Allah and they didn't believe. And they still didn't believe. But alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, now the contract is invalidated and the boycotting is over and those years of hardship is finished and the Muslims and Banu Hashim and Banu Al-Muttalib, they come back to Mecca and they're living there. They're able to eat, and not in peace totally, but they're back into amongst their tribesmen and amongst their family members and their homes and their houses with food and the likes like this. And this was the events leading up to the 10th year. This was the events leading up to the 10th year. And we close with that. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.